extend a hearty welcome to everybody here tonight to hear the gospel message. In a day when there is so much bad news, we have good news. Good news. The best news that this world has ever had. And that news is, it's found in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is the best news for this world tonight. And we just trust that each one here tonight will listen with the ear of faith and listen keenly to this wonderful message that God has for you. If you're still lost and in your sin, He wants to save you. He wants to save you tonight. I'd like to start by singing hymn number 10 in our gospel hymn sheet. It says, "There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior who's willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Oh, come now to Jesus, that dear loving Savior. Receive Him this moment, and peace shall be thine." Hymn number 10. There is a Savior on high. Job 33, these verses that I'm going to read were read in the gospel meeting about a month ago in Dorothy by a brother there, and they've been ringing in my ears ever since. Job 33, verse 13, "Why dost thou strive against God? For He giveth not account of any of His matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not." The brother in Dorothy, when he gave the gospel, was speaking about how God had spoken to this world in a most profound way this year. A most profound way. God is speaking to this world. September the 11th has changed the lives of many people. What a day September the 11th was. This world was shocked by what happened. It was shocked. Could this happen to the United States? God is speaking to this world. God speaketh once, yea twice. Let's go back a few years. Is this the only time that God spoke to this world, to the United States, to Canada? Is this the only time? Go back a few years. What about that blast that blew up the big office building in Oklahoma? The world was shocked. Why does this happen? Let's go on a little ways. The world was shocked. Columbine High School in Inglewood, California. Why did this happen? All these young people killed. A terrible catastrophe. God is speaking to this world. Let's go on. September the 11th. The collapse of the World Trade Towers. Those two great towers that man built. And they crumbled. What was it? Inside of 20 minutes or so. Right to the ground in a heap. God is speaking to this world. Not long after an air crash right into New York. I remember the newspaper in Vancouver the very next day after that air crash. And the headlines were this. What's next? What's next? What's next? God is speaking to this world. And dear friend, tonight, if you're still a stranger to God, He's speaking to you. He might have to bring trials into your life. He might have to bring troubles into your life, just as He did to me so many years ago, over 50 years ago. To bring us to the realization that we need Him, that we need the Savior, that we need the Savior of sinners. And God doesn't want to send a man to hell. No, He doesn't. And He has provided salvation full and free to whosoever will tonight. His offer of mercy is to poor, lost, fallen man. And won't you accept His wonderful offer of mercy? Won't you accept His wonderful offer of salvation? He's given us the very best that His heart of love could give. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That came from the very heart of God. A God that loves you. A God that has given the very best, His beloved Son, to die on Calvary's cross for you. Think of it. The very best that a heart of love that God could give for you. Have you accepted His wonderful offer? I have. Thank God I have. Many, many years ago, over 50 years ago, and I'm not sorry for it. What a God we have. This is the God that we're going to spend an eternity with. May I tell you the story that I told in Dorothy a month ago? I know that it is a true story because it came from a very good source. There was an airline stewardess that worked for American Airlines on September the 10th. She received a gospel tract. And she inquired about this gospel tract to the person that gave it to her. And she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her own personal Savior. On September the 11th, her plane went into the World Trade Towers. What a God. A God that delights to save. In the 11th hour of her life, she accepted Christ as her Savior. Are you going to wait till the 11th hour of your life? Dear young people here tonight, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's time is now, right now, tonight, to accept Christ as your Savior. Why? Because you've sinned against the Holy God. And those sins have separated you from a holy God. And God cannot have sin in His presence. But oh, He has a wonderful home in heaven for those of you that put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say in the 14th chapter of John, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, where the Lord Jesus is where I want to be. And I'm going to be there. And I know that the Lord Jesus is coming very soon.
And you think of all these disasters that have come upon this world in these last few months, and what does it say? The Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming, and very soon. As we were preaching the gospel from this room last year at this time, did we think we'd still be here? Did we think we'd still be here? But here we are again. God in His long-suffering mercy, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so He's lengthened out the day of grace another year, another day, another month, so that you have the opportunity to come tonight. But oh, don't flirt with the grace of God. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so He's pleading for you to come tonight. It says in John 7:37, at last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Oh, how many thirsty people there is in this world. Drinking in all the pleasures of sin for a season, they're not going to satisfy you. They're not going to satisfy you. I know. I tried it as a young man. There's only one thing that can satisfy you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. You think of the Lord Jesus, and there on that Calvary's cross, it says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree." You think of the Lord Jesus there up in that cross crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake His Son? I'll tell you, it was because of your sins and mine that He was there becoming the sin bearer for you and I. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Think of that. My sins were laid on Him at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And my sins are all gone. And I can say by the authority of the Word of God and that precious work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, that my sins are all gone, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All gone. Praise the Lord. What a Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. These are words of life for you tonight. If you're still in your sin, you'll never get to heaven without the blood of Christ. You'll never get to heaven without the work of Christ. You can do all kinds of things to merit your way to heaven, but there's only one way. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And oh, dear one, you must be saved tonight. You must be born again. You must come to see this wonderful Savior who delights to save and who is willing to save you tonight. Won't you come to Him tonight? We plead with you. If there's one here still in your sins tonight, come before it's forever too late. God is speaking to this world in a most profound way. And He's speaking to you tonight. He's allowed you to come here into this gospel meeting tonight. You might have come through the ad in the newspaper, or you might have come with your mother or your father. But God has allowed you to come. Why? Because He wants you to hear this wonderful news of salvation. It's being feebly spoken, but He wants you to hear it. Are you listening to what God is saying to you? So many times, you know, when we're preaching, we see people that are not even listening, not even hearing. It's like you're talking to a blank wall. And so many are like that. Turn to a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Second Chronicles 36, verse 15. The Lord God of their fathers sent unto them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people. Think of those wonderful words here. Oh, He says, sending by His messengers, you're hearing the message tonight. And he says, because he has compassion on his people. What does it mean, compassion? It says, move to pity at the condition of others. Oh, God looks down in this world and sees the condition of this world. And he says, see my son who died on Calvary's cross for you. Look to the cross of Christ, dear one, tonight. And you'll find in that cross the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross for you. And because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But what does it say here? But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word. Are you mocking? Are you despising these words? Are you turning a deaf ear to these words? God is speaking to you tonight. And misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Oh, dear one, tonight, if you reject God's wonderful offer of mercy, and if the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, there would be no remedy for you. There would be no healing for you. There would be no salvation for you. The gospel will not go forth after the Lord Jesus comes. It'll be too late. Think of that. Too late. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. You know, tonight, dear one, I say this to you. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he's saying to you, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me with wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger? Is this nothing to you? Is it nothing to you that God loves you? Is it nothing to you that the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross for you? Is this nothing to you? Does it move you? He's pleading for you to come tonight. Oh, dear one, his arms are outstretched to you. He's saying to you, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never turn you aside if you come. Come as a guilty, lost sinner. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and nowhere worthy to be called thy son. That's what the prodigal said when he came. That's what I said when I came to the Lord Jesus 50 years ago. I came like that as a guilty, lost sinner. You've sinned against God. It says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those sins have separated you from a holy God. But oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. All my sins gone, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord Jesus were to come tonight, immediately to be with him in the glory forever and ever, to praise him, to thank him for what he has done for me. Oh, hallelujah, praise his glorious name for what he has done for you and I. Do you know this wonderful Savior? If you don't, you're missing something so wonderful. How wonderful it is to be a child of God, to know that my future is all settled in Christ. He is my future. The world is looking at, with anxious moments at what the condition of the world is, what a world we're passing through right now, for fear of what's coming on this world. What is next coming? What's next? The Lord Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? But many are there are that are fearful of what is coming. You know, beloved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. The blood on your doorpost. Are you sheltered under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank God I am. My future is all settled in Christ. Turn with me tonight. We have, for the last few months, had on our thoughts and our minds towers. A brother sent me a picture of two towers. And my wife and I were standing right in front of them. We were on the New Jersey side, and the towers were in the background. The towers aren't there. We're still here, but the towers aren't. I'm going to talk about four towers. powers. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us build brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, that we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. They built a tower. They built it. They built it. Let you see as you notice these verses that says, let us, let us, let us, let us. You know what they were doing? They were building something without God. They were leaving God right out of it. That's what they were doing. And this was, you might say, a symbol of their pride and of their prosperity. And they were doing something without God, and they were just leaving God right out of their lives. You know it says in Psalm 10, God is not in all their thoughts. And that is, isn't that the way of man? He doesn't think about God. Doesn't think about salvation. He doesn't think about future. He just thinks about his world and all it is about it. And how to make his world comfort. Here they were. Let us, let us, let us. Think of that. Leaving God right out of their lives. A symbol of pride and prosperity. The World Trade Towers were a symbol of pride and prosperity. Were they not the greatest towers in New York City? Whose towers reached up into heaven. I want to be careful. I want to say this, that I don't condone what was done to those towers. But I'm just saying this, that they were symbols of man's prosperity. All the money that was transacted in those towers. And yet, in a moment of time, they were gone. They were gone. Think of that. How solemn. And with so many lives that went with those towers. I wonder how many in those closing moments in those towers cried to the Lord for mercy. You know, it says in Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In those moments, they could have come to the Lord Jesus and found in him a Savior who delights to save, even if it's in the 11th hour of their life. And I'm sure that there may be probably many that cried to the Lord for mercy in those last closing hours. And I'm sure that there were many in amongst those, what was it, 4,000 or so that perished in those towers that knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And to go to me immediately with the Lord Jesus there in heaven, in their eternal home. And here they were in these towers. Let us, let us, let us. Leaving God completely out of their lives. Turn to Luke chapter 13. that were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered these such things? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What do we have here? A tower that fell, and men perished in this tower, just like the World Trade Towers. But what about these people? What does it say? Twice over. Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want to say this. Acts 17:30. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. God is commanding you, dear one, tonight, if you're still in your sins, to repent, to acknowledge that you've sinned against the holy God, and find in that wonderful God a Savior who delights to save and delights to bless. What a God we have. What a wonderful God. Do you know this wonderful Savior God that delights to save? Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? I'm just going to ask you this question. Those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, those people in the World Trade Tower, it was terrible. But I'm going to ask you this question. What about you? What about you? Have you repented? Have you acknowledged your sin against the Holy God? Never mind them at the World Trade Tower. Never mind these ones that hit, and the Tower of Siloam. But what about you? Have you come as a guilty, lost sinner? That's what God requires of you tonight. And his arms are outstretched to you tonight. He's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think of that. What a loving Savior. I'm going to ask you tonight, dear one tonight, little boy, little girl, those of you that are sitting beside your mom and dad tonight, do you know this wonderful Savior? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior? Your mom, your dad can't save you. They can bring you to the gospel meeting. They can tell you about Jesus. They can read the Bible to you. And they can pray with you. But they can't bring you to the Lord Jesus. You have to come yourself as a guilty, lost sinner. Have you come, dear little boy, dear little girl, dear older one here tonight? Have you come to the Lord Jesus? I'm going to meet a young lad in a couple of weeks who is near home. He's near home. Young Ryan Wells lives in Isle of Mort, Newfoundland. He's 19. These last few weeks, he is teetering on going home. A little while ago, one of his lungs collapsed. He only has one lung now. He said to his dad, don't worry, Dad, I've got another one. He's going home to be with the Savior. Boys and girls, you know, you're sitting here in a gospel meeting and you're in a very healthy state. You're a very healthy person. I don't think there's one here tonight that is suffering like Ryan is. But Ryan knows the Lord Jesus as his own personal Savior, and he knows he's going to be with the Lord. What about you? What about you? Do you know the Savior of sinners? I ask you that tonight. That's what this says here in these verses I've just read. What about you? Have you repented? God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Turn with me now to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. The verse that we were reading there, let us, Bill, let us. Now look at these verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Can you say that? Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? It says, we love him because he first loved us. He loved me before I even never knew or thought of him. What a God. What a Savior. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. See how many times it says, my. He's mine, and I am his. Beautiful, isn't it? Wonderful, isn't it, to be able to say he's mine, and he is my Savior. He is my salvation. My Savior, what a wonderful Savior. I'm going to tell you the story that I told in Dorothy. We were having gospel meetings on the south coast of Newfoundland this summer. And in between meetings, I went for a little walk. And I had a little berry can to pick some baked apples along the south coast there, a delicacy. They have a trail along the south coast there that the townspeople had built to get a little tourist revenue. And along this trail, beautiful trail going along there, along by the water, with the waves crashing up against the rocks, beautiful scenery. So I walked along this trail. It's called the Harvest Trail. And as I was walking along the trail there were signposts every so often, and you read the sign, and it depicted a little of the history of the area into which I was walking along. And as I was walking along there was this sign, and there was this sign that said, the wreck of the Despatch. You see, the Despatch was going along the south coast of Newfoundland there in 1830. A schooner. It had 163 passengers on board, and they were heading for Boston, USA. And they had taken a sounding from the Cape Ray Lighthouse, which is only 5 miles further on. And there they were, this schooner, with 163 passengers on board. And the captain calculated wrong from the Cape Ray Lighthouse. And he ran that schooner right up on the rocks, right outside Alamort. And that schooner was up there on the rocks with 163 passengers on board that schooner. And those people, with the waves crashing up against the tail end of the boat and breaking all the tail end of the boat up, they were doomed. They were doomed. And there was no hope for them. And dear friend, tonight I want to tell you this, that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're just like that. And you're in a worse predicament than those 163 passengers. But there was good news. There was a young girl by the name of Ann Harvey that was walking along the shoreline. And she saw all the wreckage coming up on shore. And she realized that there was a wreck out there. And so she ran to her father, George Harvey. And they got in the dory, George Harvey. And the son and the daughter and Harry Mann the dog. and hairy man. The dog was a Newfoundland dog. And they got a bunch of rope, and they got in the dory, and they rowed towards that stricken ship. If you think of that. Of what they went through to get out to that boat. They didn't really get out to the boat, because they threw the dog overboard with a rope in its mouth, and that dog swam for all it was worth, the waves burying it, every second wave. But dear one, let me tell you something else. To think of what the Lord Jesus did for you and I on Calvary's cross. It says all those waves and billows roll over His blessed head there at Calvary's cross, that He went through for you and I to redeem you and I to Himself. Oh, think of that. But that dog made it to that boat with that rope. And they put that rope to that boat. And they brought another rope back to the shore. And they tied what they call a breeches buoy onto that rope. And 163 passengers went off that ship before it went down. They were all saved from that ship. What a miraculous salvation. But oh dear one, think of the miraculous salvation that was accomplished for you at Calvary's cross. Have you accepted this wonderful salvation? Can you be able to say tonight, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And then what does it say? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Have you ever thanked the Lord for dying on Calvary's cross for you? I'm going to ask you tonight, dear young boy, dear young girl, have you ever thanked the Lord Jesus for dying on Calvary's cross for you? He wants to hear that from you tonight. If you've never done that, will you do so tonight? Will you come, dear one, tonight? Oh, I urge you tonight. That's why the gospel is so urgent tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. This is a message of your eternal destiny. Dear one, tonight, where will you spend eternity? Will it be in the lake of fire with the devil and the damned? Or will it be with the Lord Jesus Christ in that coming scene of glory? I'm going to be there. How do I know I'm going to be there? Because this precious book that we have open before us, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. This is the authority, the divine authority. Oh, how wonderful. What assurance we can have from the precious Word of God. My salvation is all settled in Christ. I am in Christ, my Savior, my salvation. He is my Savior. And can you say that tonight? Can you say that tonight? Dear one, we urge you tonight, if you're still lost and in your sin, won't you come tonight? Tomorrow may be too late. Won't you come tonight? He's saying to you, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says this, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I love that, what it says there. Thou shalt be saved. Scripture is positive. And you can rest from this precious Word of God that we have open before us tonight. Oh, think of this. How wonderful it is to be a child of God. My future is all settled in Christ. He is my Savior. And can you say tonight, He's your Savior? You say tonight, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my rock. What a wonderful Savior. Deuteronomy 32. He is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10. And that rock is Christ. The only foundation for my life, the only foundation for your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, dear one, tonight, won't you come tomorrow, maybe too late. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved tonight? Do you know this wonderful Savior, the Savior of sinners? If not, tonight, will you come? He says to you, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Could we, in closing, sing, hymn number 12, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Shouldn't that be the response of your heart tonight? O Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, I come. Hymn number 12.